The news item on page 7 was the first account of his wife's death that Shadow had read. It felt strange, as if he were reading about someone in a story. How Laura Moon, whose age was given in the article as 27, and Robbie Burton, 39, were in Robbie's car on the interstate when they swerved into the path of a 32-wheeler, which sideswiped them as it tried to change lanes and avoid them. The truck brushed Robbie's car and sent it spinning off the side of the road, where the car had hit a road sign hard and stopped spinning. Rescue crews were on the scene in minutes. They pulled Robbie and Laura from the wreckage. They were both dead by the time they arrived at the hospital. Shadow folded the newspaper up once more and slid it back across the table toward Wednesday, who was gorging himself on a steak so bloody and so blue it might never have been introduced to a kitchen flame.
Here, take it back.
Robbie had been driving. He must have been drunk, although the newspaper account said nothing about this. Shadow found himself imagining Laura's face when she realized that Robbie was too drunk to drive. The scenario unfolded in Shadow's mind, and there was nothing he could do to stop it. Laura shouting at Robbie, shouting at him to pull off the road, then the thud of car against truck and the steering wheel wrenching over, the car on the side of the road, broken glass glittering like ice and diamonds in the headlights, blood pooling in rubies on the road beside them. Two bodies, dead or soon to die, being carried from the wreck or laid neatly by the side of the road.
Well?
Asked Mr. Wednesday. He had finished his steak, sliced and devoured it like a starving man. Now he was munching the French fries, spearing them with his fork.
You're right. I don't have a job.
Shadow took a quarter from his pocket, tails up. He flicked it up in the air, knocking it against his finger as it left his hand to give it a wobble that made it look as if it were turning, caught it, slapped it down on the back of his hand.
Call.
Why?
I don't want to work for anyone with worse luck than me. Call.
Heads.
Sorry,
said Shadow, revealing the coin without even bothering to glance at it.
It was tails. I rigged the toss.
Rigged games are the easiest ones to beat,
said Wednesday, wagging a square finger at Shadow.
Take another look at the quarter.
Shadow glanced down at it. The head was face up.
I must have fumbled the toss.
You do yourself a disservice,
said Wednesday, and he grinned.
I'm just a lucky, lucky guy.
Then he looked up.
Well, I never. Mad Sweeney, will you have a drink with us?
Southern Comfort and Coke. Straight up,
said a voice from behind Shadow.
I'll go and talk to the barman.
He stood up and began to make his way toward the bar.
Aren't you going to ask what I'm drinking?
I already know what you're drinking,
said Wednesday, and then he was standing by the bar. Patsy Cline started to sing Walkin' After Midnight on the jukebox again. The man who had ordered Southern Comfort and Coke sat down beside Shadow. He had a short, ginger-colored beard. He wore a denim jacket covered with bright sew-on patches, and under the jacket a stained white T-shirt. On the T-shirt was printed, "If you can't eat it, drink it, smoke it, or snort it, then fuck it." He wore a baseball cap on which was printed, "The only woman I have ever loved was another man's wife, my mother." He opened a soft pack of Lucky Strikes with a dirty thumbnail, took a cigarette, offered one to Shadow. Shadow was about to take one, automatically. He did not smoke, but a cigarette makes good barter material. When he realized that he was no longer inside. You could buy cigarettes here whenever you wanted. He shook his head.
You working for our man, then?
Asked the bearded man. He was not sober, although he was not yet drunk.
It looks that way.
The bearded man lit his cigarette.
I'm a leprechaun.
Shadow did not smile.
Really? Shouldn't you be drinking Guinness?
Stereotypes. You have to learn to think outside the box. There's a lot more to Ireland than Guinness.
You don't have an Irish accent.
I've been over here too fucking long.
So you are originally from Ireland?
I told you I'm a leprechaun. We don't come from fucking Moscow.
I guess not.
Wednesday returned to the table, three drinks held easily in his paw-like hands.
Southern Comfort and Coke for you, Mad Sweeney, my man. and a Jack Daniels for me. And this is for you, Shadow.
What is it?
Taste it.
The drink was a tawny golden color. Shadow took a sip, tasting an odd blend of sour and sweet on his tongue. He could taste the alcohol underneath and a strange blend of flavors. It reminded him a little of prison hooch, brewed in a garbage bag from rotten fruit and bread and sugar and water. But it was smoother, sweeter, infinitely stranger.
Okay, I tasted it. What was it?
Mead. Honey wine. The drink of heroes. The drink of the gods.
Shadow took another tentative sip. Yes, he could taste the honey, he decided. That was one of the tastes.
Tastes kind of like pickle juice,
he said.
Sweet pickle juice wine.
Tastes like a drunken diabetic's piss. I hate the stuff.
Then why did you bring it for me?
Wednesday stared at Shadow with his mismatched eyes. One of them, Shadow decided, was a glass eye, but he could not decide which one.
I brought you mead to drink because it's traditional, and right now we need all the tradition we can get. It seals our bargain.
We haven't made a bargain.
Sure we have. You work for me. You protect me. You help me. You transport me from place to place. You investigate from time to time. Go places and ask questions for me. You run errands in an emergency, but only in an emergency you hurt people who need to be hurt. In the unlikely event of my death, you will hold my vigil. And in return, I shall make sure that your needs are adequately taken care of.
He's hustling you,
said Mad Sweeney, rubbing his bristly ginger beard.
He's a hustler.
Damn straight I'm a hustler. That's why I need someone to look out for my best interests.
The song on the jukebox ended, and for a moment the bar fell quiet, every conversation at a lull.
Someone once told me that you only get those everybody shuts up at once moments at 20 past or 22 the hour.
Sweeney pointed to the clock above the bar, held in the massive and indifferent jaws of a stuffed alligator head. The time was 11:20.
There. Damned if I know why that happens.
I know why.
You gonna share with the group?
I may tell you one day, yes. Or I may not. Drink your mead.
Shadow knocked the rest of the mead back in one long gulp.
Might be better over ice,
he said.
Or it might not. It's terrible stuff.
That it is,
agreed Mad Sweeney.
You'll excuse me for a moment, gentlemen, but I find myself in deep and urgent need of a lengthy piss.
He stood up and walked away, an impossibly tall man. He had to be almost 7 feet tall, decided Shadow. The waitress wiped a cloth across the table and took their empty plates. She emptied Sweeney's ashtray and asked if they would like to order any more drinks. Wednesday told her to bring the same again for everyone, although this time Shadow's mead was to be on the rocks.
Anyway, that's what I need of you, if you're working for me. Which, of course, you are.
That's what you want. Would you like to know what I want?
Nothing could make me happier.
The waitress brought the drink. Shadow sipped his mead on the rocks. The ice did not help. If anything, it sharpened the sourness and made the taste linger in the mouth after the mead was swallowed. However, Shadow consoled himself, it did not taste particularly alcoholic. He was not ready to be drunk. Not yet. He took a deep breath.
Okay. My life, which for 3 years has been a long way from being the greatest life there has ever been, just took a distinct and sudden turn for the worse. Now there are a few things I need to do. I want to go to Laura's funeral. I want to say goodbye. After that, if you still need me, I want to start at $500 a week.
The figure was a stab in the dark, a made-up number. Wednesday's eyes revealed nothing.
If we're happy working together, in 6 months' time you raise it to $1,000 a week.
He paused. It was the longest speech he'd made in years.
You say you may need people to be hurt. Well, I'll hurt people if they're trying to hurt you. But I don't hurt people for fun or for profit. I won't go back to prison. Once was enough.
You won't have to.
No, I won't.